Medicom Medical Publishers produces peer-reviewed reports and highlights on major medical meetings. We bring the Congress to the physician.
Welcome to this podcast, which is produced by Medicom Medical Publishers. Today I will discuss six presentations that were held at the ESMO Gastrointestinal Cancers Congress of 2024, which was held from the 26th to the 29th of June in Munich, Germany. Enjoy listening. The Phase 3 TOPAZ 1 study randomized 685 participants to receive 1500 mg of durvalumab or placebo on day 1 of each 21-day cycle alongside gemcitabine and cisplatin for up to 8 cycles. This was followed by durvalumab or placebo monotherapy every 4 weeks until disease progression or unacceptable toxicity. The primary endpoint was overall survival. With a median follow-up of 41.3 months, the combination of durvalumab and chemotherapy reduced the risk of death by 26% compared with chemotherapy alone, with a hazard ratio of 0.74 and a 95% confidence interval of 0.63 to 0.87, and this was an improvement over the primary analysis. Participants receiving the combination treatment had a median overall survival of 12.9 months versus 11.3 months for those on chemotherapy plus placebo. The 3-year overall survival rate was 14.6% in the combination arm and 6.9% in the placebo arm. The combination regimen was generally well tolerated with no new safety concerns. Serious treatment-related adverse events occurred in 15.4% of the participants in the combination arm and in 17.3% of those in the placebo arm. This analysis represents the longest survival follow-up in a global phase 3 immunotherapy trial for advanced biliary tract cancer. Long-term survival benefit was not driven by any particular subgroup of participants. The latest data from TOPAZ-1 shows that twice as many patients with advanced biliary tract cancer were still alive at 3 years with durvalumab and chemotherapy, which is a significant advance given the historically poor prognosis in this setting, concluded Professor Do Young Oh of the Seoul National University in Korea. Dr. Elisa Fontana of the Sarah Cannon Research Institute in the United Kingdom presented results of the Phase 1 Minotaur trial, which evaluated lunresertib in patients with advanced solid gastrointestinal tumors. Lunresertib is a first-in-class PKMYT1 inhibitor targeting CCNE amplification, FBXW7, and PPP2R1A alterations in solid tumors. The combination of lunresertib and FOLFIRI is under evaluation in several phase 1 and phase 2 trials. Dr. Fontana presented efficacy and tolerability data from the combination therapy in the phase 1 Minotaur trial, particularly for tumors with CCNE1 amplification and deleterious FBXW7 mutations, which are associated with poor prognosis and lack approved treatments. The trial results demonstrated an overall response rate of 18.2% in heavily pretreated patients, regardless of prior irinotecan exposure. Notably, 40% of irinotecan-naive colorectal cancer patients remained on treatment for over 9 months, suggesting a prolonged clinical benefit. The combination therapy was well tolerated, with a safety profile consistent with FOLFIRI alone, and no excess toxicity was observed. Neutropenia and leukopenia were the most common grade 3 or 4 treatment-related adverse events, reversible with FOLFIRI interruption. These data are encouraging for early efficacy and tolerability, suggesting the need for further development in a randomized phase 2 study. This combination therapy could potentially provide a new treatment option for gastrointestinal tumors with CCNE1 amplification and FBXW7 mutations. The Phase 2 REGINA trial assessed regorafenib for patients with stage 2 or 3 rectal cancer. Regorafenib is an oral multi-kinase inhibitor targeting angiogenic, stromal, and oncogenic receptor tyrosine kinases. Dr. Francesco Sclafani of the Institut Jules Bordet in Belgium presented the interim analysis of the Regina trial, which investigated the triplet combination of neoadjuvant regorafenib, nivolumab, and short course radiotherapy, or SCRT, in 36 patients with stage 2 or 3 rectal cancer. The primary endpoint for Regina is pathological and clinical complete response, or PCR and CCR, at 1 year. The predefined statistical criteria for this interim analysis were met, supporting further investigation of the combination of regorafenib, nivolumab, and SCRT as neoadjuvant therapy for locally advanced rectal cancer. Promising PCR rates and watch and wait adoption were observed regardless of mismatch repair or microsatellite stability status. Of the 36 participants, 8 achieved CCR prior to surgery and moved to watch and wait, while 27 underwent surgery. 8 of those participants achieved a PCR, concluding that over one-third of the study population achieved PCR or CCR with this approach. Given an unexpectedly high toxicity rate in the second stage of the study, the regorafenib dose will be reduced to 60 mg per day in hopes of improving the treatment safety profile. The nature of adverse events was consistent with known profiles, including hand-foot skin reaction, hypertension, and fatigue. Importantly, the trial reported no new safety concerns. Dr. Sclafani concluded, "The phase 2 Regina trial brings both challenges and hope. The 60% incidence of grade 3 or higher serious adverse events underscores the need for meticulous patient management, while a 25% PCR in this population is promising. Balancing efficacy and toxicity remains crucial." In contrast to microsatellite instability high mismatch repair deficient metastatic colorectal cancer, microsatellite stable proficient mismatch repair, or PMMR-MSS, metastatic colorectal cancer, MCRC, is currently considered non-responsive to immune checkpoint inhibitors. However, about 15% of PMMR-MSS CRCs are highly infiltrated by tumor-infiltrating lymphocytes and may therefore be sensitive to immune checkpoint inhibitors. The multicenter single-arm phase 2 POCHI trial evaluates the efficacy of the immune checkpoint inhibitor pembrolizumab in combination with CAPOX and bevacizumab as first-line treatment of unresectable PMMR-MSS-MCRC in patients with a high immune infiltrate. The primary objective is to increase progression-free survival at 10 months from 50 to 70%. A total of 28 participants with unresectable PMMR-MSS-MCRC were treated every 3 weeks with a combination of pembrolizumab, CAPOX, and bevacizumab. After a median follow-up of 19 months, 13 participants were still on treatment. A complete response was achieved in 6 participants and a partial response in 15, leading to an overall response rate of 75%. 6 participants showed stable disease and 1 had disease progression. The median duration of response at data cutoff was 10 months. Preliminary efficacy data shows a progression-free survival rate at 12 months of 68% and a 24-month overall survival rate of 67%. Regarding safety, 64% of the participants experienced at least one grade 3 or 4 treatment-related adverse event, but there was no toxic death. These preliminary results suggest a high efficacy of pembrolizumab combined with standard therapy in patients with PMMR-MSS-MCRC and a high immune infiltrate. The observed complete response and disease control rates justify further evaluation of this treatment in the randomized phase 3 trial, Dr. Tuqueron concluded. The trial is still enrolling and biomarker analyses are ongoing. The past 5 years have seen 5 new approvals for gastric or gastroesophageal junction cancer treatments, all biomarker-driven, leaving patients without these markers in need of alternative strategies. About 40% of patients with locally advanced metastatic gastric gastroesophageal junction cancer never reach second-line therapy, making the initial treatment phase critical. Dr. Giovanni Rondon presented a potential strategy for patients with HER2-negative advanced gastric or gastroesophageal junction cancer from the phase 3 Armani trial. Armani randomized 218 patients who showed no disease progression after 3 months of initial oxaliplatin-based chemotherapy to receive either ramucirumab plus paclitaxel or to continue with CAPOX-FOLFOX for another 3 months, followed by fluoropyrimidine monotherapy maintenance. The primary endpoint was progression-free survival. The median PFS was 6.6 months in the ramucirumab arm, compared with 3.5 months in the control arm, with a hazard ratio of 0.63 and a 95% confidence interval of 0.49 to 0.81. The median overall survival was 12.6 months in the ramucirumab arm and 10.4 months in the control arm, with a hazard ratio of 0.75 and a 95% confidence interval of 0.58 to 0.97. However, grade 3 or higher neuropathy and other toxicities were more common in the experimental arm. The findings suggest that switching to ramucirumab and paclitaxel maintenance may prolong survival. However, the increased toxicities and the implication of already having used two lines of therapy if patients progress must be considered when deciding on this treatment approach. Dr. Kohei Shitara of the National Cancer Center Hospital East in Japan presented the third scheduled interim analysis of the Phase 3 KEYNOTE-585 trial, which assessed efficacy of perioperative pembrolizumab combined with chemotherapy versus placebo with chemotherapy in patients with untreated, locally advanced, resectable gastric or gastroesophageal junction cancer. The initial results did not show significant improvement in event-free survival, EFS, though the pathological complete response, PCR rate, did improve. 804 participants were randomized 1-to-1 to receive neoadjuvant pembrolizumab or placebo combined with chemotherapy for 3 cycles. Post-surgery, patients received adjuvant pembrolizumab or placebo plus chemotherapy every 3 weeks for 3 cycles, followed by adjuvant pembrolizumab or placebo every 3 weeks for 11 cycles. In a separate FLOT cohort, patients were randomized to receive either pembrolizumab or placebo with docetaxel, oxaliplatin, leucovorin, and 5-FU every 2 weeks. The primary endpoints were PCR, EFS, overall survival, and safety in the FLOT cohort. With a median follow-up of 60 months, the PCR rate was 13.4% with pembrolizumab versus 2% with placebo, showing a difference of 11.4%. The median EFS was 44.4 months with pembrolizumab versus 25.5 months with placebo. The median overall survival was 71.8 months versus 55.7 months, respectively. Grade 3 or higher drug-related adverse event rates were 65% in the pembrolizumab group versus 63% in the placebo group. The efficacy and safety outcomes were thus consistent with previous analysis. Improvement in EFS was not statistically significant, raising questions about the overall benefit of adding pembrolizumab to the treatment regimen. The discussant, Dr. Lizzie Smith of the Oxford University Hospital in the UK, pointed out that immunologically hot tumors, namely those that have high microsatellite instability or have PD-L1 expression above 10%, show the greatest PCR improvement, as well as marked improvement in EFS and overall survival. This subgroup of patients would likely benefit in the short and long term from perioperative pembrolizumab.
This podcast was produced by Medicom Medical Publishers.